one last prayer request, if you think about it. Ashley is 9 months pregnant, and she is absolutely sick of it. She wants the baby. Our due date is Sunday, but who knows? A lot can happen between now and Sunday, but I know that we're excited to meet the baby, and she's excited to, she told me verbatim, she said, "I've never been so excited to be in so much pain in my entire life." So she's over it. She's ready. We're ready to meet the baby. If you guys remember Jonathan, I was able to baptize him. I was able to lead him to the Lord the day before Easter. Does anybody remember Jonathan at all? It's okay. I'm going to tell you about him anyways. He told me yesterday, and I was so encouraged. It was right as he was coming into work. And he said, "Phil, I finally," he used the word finally, "has been saved for 5 months." He said, "I finally was able to get through the whole Bible." I said, "Wow." He said that, "Yeah, I've been listening to it every day, roughly 7 chapters on my way to work and 7 chapters on my way home." So in a 5 month time, 5 months, less than 5 months, he was able to listen to the entire Bible. And I asked him, I said, "Well, what did you learn from it?" And he said, "Well, I learned a lot." He said, "But I forgot a lot more." He said, "I learned so much." He said, "But what I forgot," he said, "I'm going through it again." He said, "I just started going through it again." He said, "This time, though, instead of just listening to it," he says, "I have my Bible open, and while it's reading, I'm reading with it." That's insane. 5 months. He's been a Christian for 5 months, and he says, "I want more of God's Word. I want more of what the Word of God tells me. I want more truth. I want to know God deeper. I want to know God at a different level." And he told me, he said that, he said, when I'm listening to music in my car," and he said, I found myself doing this. He said, "When I'm listening to music in my car, I have no problem. I had no problem cranking that stereo up. No problem whatsoever cranking that stereo up." He said, "But what I found as I was listening to this music, when I was listening to the Bible, when I would come to red lights, I would turn it down." He said, "I don't know why I did that." I said, "Well, Hebrews chapter 4:12 tells us that, 'For the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart.'" So as it comes to Jonathan turning down the music, he said, "I'm not doing that anymore." But it's because the word of God has power in our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts us. His word tells us that we ought to be lifting his name on high. But I figured I'd share that with you, because it's exciting to me to see such a young Christian be so hungry and willing and wanting to be in God's Word. It is very encouraging to me. Psalm 119 is where we're going to be tonight. And as you guys turn there, we'll be Psalm 119 verses 49 through 56. Psalm 119, as you guys are turning there, it's the longest chapter in Psalms, and it's actually the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. Psalms 119 in its totality is an appreciation, a celebration, or dependency completely on the Word of God. Psalm 119 helps us to navigate any and all aspects of our life according to what God's Word says. And the deeper I get in my walk, the more important I realize, how important God's Word is in every aspect of my life. It tells me how to live. It guides me down the right path. It tells me what I should and should not be doing. It tells me how to love my wife. It tells me how to raise a family. It tells me how to act, how to share the gospel. It tells me so many things. So many things. And tonight I want to look at just 6 of those things. 6 attributes of the Word of God. So this is going to be not so much of a preaching message, more of a teaching. We got 6 points that we're going to get through tonight, but Psalm 119, verse 49 says this: "Remember your word to your servant. You have given me hope through it. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise has given me life. The arrogant constantly ridicule me, but I do not turn away from your instruction. Lord, I remember your judgments from long ago and find comfort. Rage seizes me because of the wicked who reject your instruction." Verse 54, "Your statutes are the theme of my song during my earthly life. Lord, I remember your name in the night, and I obey your instruction. This is my practice. I obey your precepts." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. I pray that as we get into your word, that you would reveal truths to us, God, that we would be excited about what your word is. God, for some of us, this might be a refresher, but for some of us, it might not, Lord. So I pray that your spirit would be upon us tonight as we dive into your word, Lord, and that we would take these things to heart, Lord. We would apply these truths to our lives so that we would not leave here unchanged. Lord, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first attribute of God's word is found in verse 49. It says, "Remember your word to your servant. You have given me hope through." And I got quite a bit of verses to read tonight, so bear with me. But hope, first thing, hope is found in the word of God. You say, where do we get this hope? I mean, all of us have read at least a portion of the Bible. What's our hope in? It used to be, if you're a believer in Christ, it used to be in the world. It used to be the things of the world, the things that didn't hold much weight, temporary things. But our hope now is in Jesus Christ. It's in salvation. It's in the hope that we get to spend eternity with him. Now, how do I know all that? Well, the Word of God tells me that. And that's why it's important. But Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says this: "For whatever was written in the past was written for instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement from the Scriptures." What was written in the past, everything that we have in this Word, though it's living, was written in the past. We have it for instruction, for reproof, for correction, all of these things. And therefore, hope is found in all of that. Hope is found within the pages of this book. Hope, this is not a book to be set on a shelf. It's the living Word of God. It's the living Word of God that we can apply to every facet of our lives. If you were to read Psalm 119 and all of its 176 verses, you would see that there is not only hope, but there is so much more in these pages. The problem is we don't always look into it. We try and figure things out by ourselves when God already has the answers for us. But there's hope in it. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says this: "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You see, hope in something that's worth having hope in comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. The way I live my life now is not the way I lived my life 15 years ago. The way I live my life now is not the way I lived my life 10 years ago. The way I live my life today is not the same way I lived my life yesterday. I had the opportunity to go golfing this morning with a friend. He invited me, and I took the day off to spend time with Ashley. And so I went in the early morning and went golfing. And I went with my friend, and he invited his friend, and then his friend's grandpa went. So I only knew my one friend, Eric, but I had these two guys, so I looked at it as an opportunity to share the gospel. I looked at it as an opportunity to share the hope that I have, and I was able to do that. Turns out, they're both Christians. That was encouraging as well, because they built me up, and they told me that they'd pray for me on the church plant and pray for Ashley as she's about ready to deliver this baby. But that hope that's in me now, the hope that I want to give, the hope that I want to share, the hope that I've learned through God's word, I want to share that with everybody. But that is the hope that we have. And just a side note, if you look at verse 49, it says, "Remember your word to your servant." It's a mature thing to do as a believer to remind God of what his word says. Why? One, because it tells God that you're in his word. It tells God that you're spending time with him. It tells God that you know what his word says and how you should be applying it to your life. The word of God in the Bible is full of hope in it. But the problem is, if we don't know God's word and we don't know the hope that's in it, it's kind of hard to have that hope. And it's kind of hard to remind him of what his word says. So the word of God is super important, but in it lies hope. The second thing, and we can find that in verse 50, is it. The Word of God has comfort throughout its pages. It says, "This is my comfort in my affliction." What is that? The hope that God's Word has given to me, has given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves received from God." Again, if we're not getting in God's word and reading that, if we're not experiencing the power of the Scripture, if we're not getting in and living the life, don't you find it odd that God tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:3 that the reason He comforts us in our affliction is so that we can comfort those who are also going through affliction? Doesn't that make sense? So not only am I reading God's Word and I have the hope, but now I have the power through His Word, through that hope, to comfort somebody else. To do something that I would not typically have done without that hope. And I didn't know the comfort, so I couldn't properly comfort somebody else. This comfort is not a comfort of, oh, it'll get better. This comfort is knowing what the Word of God says and having and understanding the promises that are in it. So even if this world crumbles and falls apart, we have the hope. And we have this comfort knowing that Jesus Christ is our salvation. That Jesus Christ, that there is comfort in Him and in Him alone. And yet, kind words from other people are nice, but there's a comfort that only God can provide. And it's our job as believers, as we experience that comfort, to share that comfort with others. Number three is also found in verse 50. He says, Your promise has given me life. Within the pages of this book, within the pages of God's Word, you will see life from beginning to end. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 talks about what God created. There's life all throughout it. Life all through the pages of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 and 13 says this: the one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. God's Word, the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of what He did on the cross, the gospel, the best news anybody could ever hear, are found within the pages of this book. And this is the only book, the only living Word that can provide life to you and life to me. And not a physical life, but a spiritual life. A life that we'll get to have for all of eternity, that we'll get to spend with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, because we made the decision to put our faith and trust in Him during this earthly life and say, yes, Lord, I want to follow You. Yes, Lord, I believe that You're the God of heaven and earth. Yes, Lord, I believe what Jesus Christ did for me, and I'm following that. And therefore, we can have life in that. It's the only book that promises eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's the only book, the only religious book, you can read them all. This is the only one where God has come down from heaven to die for His creation. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we will find a life. And what's His Word say? We'll find life more abundantly. So the Word of God is, guys, it's when I think about God's Word and all these things, and we're just talking about six of them tonight. If you were to read Psalm 119 in its entirety, you'd say, wow, there's a lot more in there. And that's just in one of these books, 176 verses. God's Word is amazing. All of the songs that we sang tonight, where do you think those words came from? They came from the truth of Scripture. They came from God's Word. Don't you think if it gives us hope and it comforts us and it gives us life, don't you think we ought to take a little bit more time to get in it and see what it says? I'm not going to lie. When Jonathan told me that he made it through, I was encouraged, but I was like, dang. Dang. What have I been doing for 5 months? I've read two whole books in 5 months. He's made it through 66 of them. That's insane. But that tells me that if not only that, he made it, he's going back through it to figure out what he might have missed. And after that, he said he's going back through it again to figure out what he might have missed then. We ought to be a little bit more serious about God's Word. We ought to be a little bit more serious about God's Word and what it says. The fourth thing, the fourth attribute is judgment. We find that judgment is found in the Word of God. We see that in verse 52. He says, "Lord, I remember your judgments from long ago and find comfort." Judgment is found. If you recall the story of Noah when God flooded the earth, so there wasn't a single there wasn't many people that were doing what God wanted to do. The whole world had become evil. The whole world had become evil. And God says in, I think it's Genesis 6-7, that he grieved that he made man. You know, I think we look at God as this all-loving, and the church preaches today, or many churches preach today that, oh, God's all about love, and he's all about compassion, and he's only about love, and he's only about compassion. They leave out the judgment that is riddled in the pages of his Word. And so Noah, him and his family were saved from that judgment. Also, you think to the story of Jonah when he was called to go to Nineveh. What did God tell him to say? Let him know, you have 40 days, and then Nineveh is going to be overthrown. God had his judgment set out for Nineveh, but he went the opposite way because they repented. But there's a judgment that God has. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37 says this, and this is Jesus speaking, "I tell you, on that day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, that begs the question, what are you guys talking about? What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming off of your lips? Is it the gossip that stirs people up? Is it the cuss words and the rejection of Christ? Is it the filthy slander that the backstabbing comments that come out? Or are you looking for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people and tell people what God's done for you? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." There is a judgment. The Word of God is a book of judgment. On the flip side of that, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, judgment's going to look a little different. Though you will have to give an account, you have a substitution for your sin. We as believers in Jesus Christ have a substitution. All of the sin that we commit, Jesus paid for it on the cross. All the bad things that we do, Jesus paid for it on the cross. Though there's going to be a judgment, I'm glad that I don't have to face the wrath of God. Jesus already did that on the cross. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. Was that four? All right, we're on five. The other thing that we can find, another attribute that we can find in the Word of God is found in verse 54. It says, statutes or commands. It says, "Your statutes are the theme of my song during my earthly life." So statutes and commands are found in the Bible. If you were to turn to Exodus chapter 20, you would see what? The Ten Commandments. Yeah, you would see the Ten Commandments, and it gave a list of all of them. We have them back there on that frame. If you want to, if you don't want to go back to Exodus chapter 20, you can take a peek at them. But there's commandments. There's the Word of God is full of commandments, and there's not just 10 of them, by the way. There's a lot more than 10. There are a lot more than 10, and none of the commandments in there are bad. Why? Because this is what God is telling us. This is what God is telling his people. This is what God was telling the Israelites. But Jesus, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, has a command for us. And what he says is this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command. There is no other command greater than these." What he says in that, in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31 pretty much encompasses everything that we're supposed to do as Christians, does it not? Because if we're loving God and we're loving God and we're getting in His Word and we're abiding in His Word and we're doing what His Word says and we're living for Him and we're trying to please Him and we're cutting out the old sin in our lives and we're doing exactly what He wants us to do, we're loving God. And when we're loving God and when we know what's in His Word, that should change our mindset of how we should be treating people. And that's Jesus' second command. He says there, the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple, right? As simple as it gets. Love God, love people. But if we're not in God's Word to figure out, well, how did Jesus love people? How does God expect us to love people? Because it's not a worldly love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that costs something. Not money. It's a love that costs. But without the Word of God, how are we to know how to do it? Are you guys getting the point? We have to be in His Word to know how we should be conducting our lives and know how to make better decisions and know how to do what He's asked us to do as believers. It's all in here. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I know all of it because I don't, but I want to. I want to know what His Word says about everything. I want to know what His Word says about how to raise a child. I want to know what His Word says about how to be a better husband. I want to know what His Word says about how to lead a church. I want to know what His Word says about how to preach the gospel. I want to know what His Word says about how to love people. I'm not going to find it anywhere else other than here. So it's my responsibility to not just get it on Sundays and Wednesdays. I have to make sure I'm giving Him, God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, the one who molded me, who knitted me in my mom's womb, I have to give Him the time of the day to figure out what He wants from me. And I believe that if we did that as a church collectively, and many of us are, many of us do, but I believe if we did it, man, wouldn't we be much stronger as a church? Wouldn't we have a lot more testimonies on Wednesday night? Wouldn't we have a lot more praises to God? It's His Word that gives us life. What did Hebrews 4:12 say? For the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. God's Word is alive. I'm not reading no dead book. I'm not reading no dead book. When we get up here, whoever's preaching on Sunday or Wednesday, we're not reading a dead book. We're not reading just words on a page. This is the living, breathing Word of God. And it provides for us hope. It provides for us comfort. It provides for us life. There's judgment in it. It tells us how to live. The commandments. There's a lot in here. And the sixth thing, and the last thing, we can find in verses 55 and 56, and that says, Lord, I remember your name in the night, and I obey your instruction. This is my practice. I obey your precepts. So the sixth thing is blessings for being obedient can be found in the Word of God. You pretty much pick out any story in the Bible, and you will find somebody who is blessed for doing what God has asked them to do. But we also find judgment for those who don't. It's all in here. I don't remember if it was Sunday, if it was Pastor Jimmy or Pastor Phil, they're talking about there's tons to learn here. There's stuff about battles. There's a talking donkey. There's a lot in here. We just gotta have the gumption and the want to read it. What we find here, blessings for being obedient are found in the Word of God. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this: How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord, the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Where is his instruction found? In his Word. Blessed is the one, or instead, his delight is in the Lord, the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. And we're blessed when we do that. When we understand, we get in God's Word and we're stuck on something and we're meditating on it, we're praying about it. Lord, help me understand this. Lord, show me how to love people. Lord, show me how to have no other gods beside you. Lord, take the idols out of my life, and we're in it, and we're trying, and we're doing. God's going to bless us for that. So instead, His delight. Where's your delight? Where's your delight at? Is it in the Word of God? Is it in His instructions? What do you delight yourself in? What is keeping you from having a better relationship with God the Father? What are you delighting in that's keeping you from having a better relationship with God the Father? If we're in His Word and we delight in His instruction, we delight in the gospel, and we delight in all 66 of these books, we're going to be blessed. We're going to know more about God. We're going to understand more about God. We're going to act better towards people because of God and what's in His Word. But what do you delight in? He also says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 15 through 18, and this is Abraham, says this, chapter 22, verse 15 through 18. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashores. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies, and all nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command." That's what the angel's telling to Abraham. He's not going to be blessed because he did what he wanted to do. He's not going to be blessed for walking up the mountain. He's not going to be blessed. He's blessed because why? It says in verse 18, "You have obeyed my command." When you obey God, when He's called you to do something, I'm telling you guys, and you've heard me say it, and I'm going to say it again. When I ran from my calling to preach the Word of God for 3 years, I ran from it. There weren't many blessings in that. I tried to make things seem like they were blessings, but I'll tell you right now, there was no joy. There was no blessings for 3 years. There's a lot of things that suffered because I said no to God. So I had to face the consequences of me saying no to God. And guess what? I sure faced Him. And it wasn't on anybody else. Why? Because He was asking me to do something, and I told Him no. And so now I had to face the consequences. But when I finally said yes, when I finally told Him yes, guess what? That blessing faucet turned right back on. He said, "Okay, good. Now I got your attention. Now you understand. You don't do what I want you to do, you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be happy. There's not going to be much joy in your life." And then when it came to planting a church, that was a no-brainer for me. He called me to plant a church. I said, "Yes, Lord. I don't want to go through that 3 years again. I don't want to go through it again." Because I knew that if I told Him no this time, I wasn't going to be blessed. We wouldn't have this baby. You guys know that's why she's pregnant, right? How is it that you try for 5 years for something? You try for 5 years to have a baby, and it's nope. Negative pregnancy test after negative pregnancy test after negative pregnancy test. And then on a Wednesday night in October, the Holy Spirit says, "You don't belong here. You're going to go plant a church." And you say, "Yes, Lord, I will." And then the very next month, your wife gets pregnant. You're going to tell me that's anything other than God? I'll tell you, you're a liar. Because that ain't the case. When you obey God and you do what God asks, you will be blessed. There might be afflictions that come up. There might be hardships that arise, but you're going to be blessed through it. You will be blessed through it. Abraham was. His descendants were. Paul was. Peter was. The list goes on and on. I know I am. And I know many of you are. So to wrap it all up, we'll find hope in the Word of God. We're going to find comfort in the Word of God. We're going to find life in the Word of God. We'll also find judgment in the Word of God. We're going to find the commands that He has for us in the confines of His Word, and we're going to find the blessings of being obedient to God in this. Guys, the Bible is more than a rule book. The Bible is more than a book with words on pages. It's more than what we discussed tonight. I had half hour, 45 minutes to tell you just six things. Just six attributes. Just from six verses. And if you probably caught some, there was promises. I saw the word promise in there. The promises, yeah. There's emotion. Verse 53. Rage. There's so much more to the Word of God than maybe we give it credit for. But it's all in there. And I want to know it more. I want to know it deeper. Psalm 119 is awesome. And it has a lot to say about the Word of God. So my challenge for you tonight, two things. One, read Psalm 119. Let me know what you think of it. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It tells you everything there is to know about the Word of God. It's awesome. Anything that you're struggling with, it tells you how to do it and what God's Word says about you. With affliction, great. It says it there. So here we go. I just turned to Psalm 119, verse 134. Redeem me from human oppression, and I will keep your precepts. It's right there. Precepts. Where you find his precepts? God's Word. He can deliver you from oppression. Read it. So that's my first challenge. My second challenge is, don't just stop at Psalm 119. Read the entire Bible. Start with a book. Maybe the Gospels. Maybe Psalms. Maybe 1 John. I don't care where you start, just start. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed because of it. So that's my challenge for you guys tonight. There's a lot in the Word of God. Go find out for yourself what all is in there. So let's go ahead and stand. The altar is open.